The date is November 9th, 1988, and we're watching Child's Play. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Eddie Caputo to my Charles Lee Ray.
Hello, I'm Colin Stewart.
And this week, to continue our Halloween movies, we brought back a fan favorite guest. Please welcome Joel Sims, everybody.
Hello, Joel.
Hello. Thank you for having me back, gentlemen. It's good to be here.
Always a pleasure to have you back, Joel. We love having you, and it's been a minute, so we gotta have you back.
I appreciate that as always. You know, always come crawling back to me like I'm a you know, you just can't quit me.
Just whenever we need a big numbers boost, we know Joel Sims is the guy to call.
Yeah,
that's right.
All the view spiking bots that I pay for on an off server, you know. On an offshore server in China, really, yeah. Really does numbers for you guys. So you're welcome for that.
So this week we are looking back at November 1988 when the movies in theaters were Mystic Pizza, Halloween 4, Return of Michael Myers, Sleepaway Camp 2, Unhappy Campers, and I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka. And of course, our movie for today, Child's Play, which earned $44.2 million on a $9 million budget.
Did you happen to look up what the synopsis of I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka is?
No.
Is it a vampire movie?
No, it's...
Like, is Sucka meant to be, like, bloodsuckers, or is it, like...
No, it's like a blaxploitation... It's a more modern 70s blaxploitation film, I think. I don't know, or if it's a spoof of that genre or something. I've never actually... I mean, this has come up a couple times on our show now. I've mentioned I'm Gonna Get You, Sucka.
See, I was thinking it was going to be a rom-com, so you got me beat there. I was thinking, yeah, I'm going to get you, sucker. It's like, you know, he's going to get her. It's like the guy gets the girl back.
Yeah. Nice.
It's directed by Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Oh, okay, well, there you go.
And starring Keenan Ivory Wayans, yeah.
Nice. Well, as always, there will be spoilers up ahead, so if you don't want to take a spoiler in the eye like a hammer to the eye, then... You know, hit pause. I don't know if that analogy worked very well. Hit pause, go watch the movie, then come back and hear what we have to say.
So, the tagline that appears on the poster for this movie is, oh boy, did we hit the tagline jackpot. Let me rapid fire the first three because they're short. You'll only wish it was make-believe. This doll is killer. And Chucky is one mean SOB.
I like this doll is killer.
Yeah.
It's like it's very on the nose, but it works.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Chucky is one mean SOB because it there's nothing clever about it. There's absolutely nothing, no effort there. Some guy just woke up from his like four PM coke nap, railed another line and went, I got it. One mean SOB, and they just put it in print.
No. See, he came out hotter than that. Like, he came out saying he's one mean son of a bitch, and they're like, oh, we can't put that on the poster.
I got it. Settle.
SOB. SOB. Next up, we've got No One Believes the Truth or Lives to Tell It.
I like it. I think that one's got likes.
Yeah.
It's the perfect, like, yeah, just schlocky, cheesy.
Yeah. Next up, Andy Barclay has a new playmate who's in no mood to play. There we go. Next up, something's moved in with the Barclay family, and so has the terror.
Gosh.
They really brought their A game there.
And he's one mean SOB. Okay, I've saved the best two for last. There's nothing nice about murder. And there's nothing innocent about Child's Play.
See, it's a little more clever. Like there was some more. There was some more direct effort put into that.
Yep.
Like they gave it like 4.5 minutes instead of 30 seconds.
Okay, and well, finally, to bring it home, when most people have nightmares, they dream of Freddy. When Freddy has nightmares, he dreams of Chucky.
I mean, I don't know.
Come on! I mean, I thought that was bringing it home strong. That one's a good one. I mean, it's dumb, but fuck, do I love that one.
I think that's just perfectly cashing in on this idea of they're like, yeah, trust me, you're gonna really like it. We're not telling you anything about what it actually is, but you like this other movie, so think about that one. Come to this one.
Well, if Freddy versus Jason had been a bigger movie, maybe they would have ended up with a sequel that they could have like franchised the Freddy versus Jason and ended up with like a Freddy versus Jason versus Chucky at one point. You know, just expand that universe.
Yeah, I've always thought they needed like a slasher universe. That would be good with like add Chucky to Freddy and Jason, get like Pinhead, get I don't know who else there. Michael Myers.
Yeah, you could get Ghostface even.
Get like Carrot Top in there.
Carrot Top. Yeah. It would be like there is that I think they're called like the Slash Street Boys or whatever. They always make music videos around Halloween, but it's like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC parody songs. But it's all those guys like Freddy, Jason, Michael, all these serial killers.
Huh.
How about it? Move over, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. So those were a lot of descriptions, but they may not tell us what this movie is about. So let's go to Colin and do a 60-second synopsis.
Okay, here we go. Serial killer slash wizard Charles Lee Ray is pursued by Detective Mike Norris into a local toy store. After finding himself on the losing end of a shootout, he dies, but not before he uses his magical powers to transfer his soul into the year's hottest toy for boys aged 5 to 10, the Good Guy Doll. Now living in doll form, Chucky is purchased from a homeless street peddler by Karen Barclay, who wants one of the dolls to brighten the life of her young son, Andy. But life with the Barclays isn't enough to quell Chucky's thirst for murder, so he kills Andy's aunt and his former crime associate, and adults being adults, they think that Andy is the one behind it and throw him in a psych ward. After realizing there's no way to go back to his old body, Chucky decides to ditch his doll form and steal Andy's body. Will he be able to do it, or will Karen and Mike be able to stop him in time? Let's find out on another episode of I Used to Like This One.
Right on. So this is one, because it was a Halloween movie, I reached out to Joel and I said, Joel, you're going to pick our movie. And you came back with one of the best responses I've ever heard is, well, I've always had an irrational fear of child's play, so I would like to take a look at that one all the way through. So tell me about your history with child's play.
All right. When I was a young boy, a young lad, if you will, I remember I was in a movie theater in line to go see the third Harry Potter film. Okay. I was waiting in line with my parents, and I walked to the theater, and I looked to my left, and there was a poster for Bride of Chucky.
Okay.
I remember seeing its messed up face, and like I was like, oh, crazy killer doll. And from then it was on. My beef and my terror with this creepy looking doll would pervade me for probably the next like decade. Not decade, probably until I was like 12. It freaked me out and I realized it was just ridiculous. But I
So how old were you going to see Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban?
Ooh, I think I was, what year was that one released? I think
probably 04?
Yeah, then I would have been 5, 6, depending
on
when.
Okay.
Yeah, and it just really freaked me out. It's the idea of this like doll that kills you. That's not cool when you're a child. I like it when my dolls don't kill me. Yeah. I don't really have any dolls, but when they, you know, don't commit murder, that's a lot better. I remember once I was in like a department store. I think it was like a Home Depot. And we were walking past the Halloween decorations and I looked up and there was like an animatronic doll of Chucky that like was, you press a button and it goes like, I'm Chucky, you want to play? And it like waves its knife or whatever. Yeah. I looked up and there's just like a wall of these. And I looked up and I went, and I shut my eyes and I looked down and I just stopped moving.
Nice.
My mom turned around, she's like, what are you doing? And she had to grab me and like pull me out of the aisle because I just didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to acknowledge it existed.
Yeah. Well, what
which
I
is
find
a
funny
thing to do.
Yeah. What I find funny, though, is, like, you're not really, because you are so much younger than us, you're not really of the generation that had these kinds of dolls, the Teddy Ruxpins, the My Buddies, you know, all those sort of things. Like, we grew up with these nightmare toys of these giant talking animatronic dolls. And so in 88, this played right into the wheelhouse. I mean, I was 10 years old when this particular movie came out. And so, you know, I remember that there was more of a comparison that you could make to toys that you actually saw advertised on TV at the time.
You ever seen a Buzz Lightyear doll?
Yeah.
Yeah. These are terrifying.
That was going to be my next question. I was going to be like, well, how do you feel about Toy Story? Oh. It's just the idea of your toys crawling all over you when you're asleep.
Yeah, because the scene at the end of the first Toy Story, like, there's some moments in this where it's like, oh, that's kind of what Woody did to Sid at the end of Toy Story, you know, the now play nice.
I think Toy Story for me, I found terrifying, not because of the content of it, but because Randy Newman's just a really scary son of a bitch. you know, you don't got a friend in me, Randy. Freak. But yeah, Child's Play, it always terrified me.
So when
I remember when
you...
I went out for my last Halloween that I ever went out for, I was walking down the street. I had a pretty slick costume on. We walk up. I made it like 14 houses down, which isn't like a lot. You know, yeah. When you're a kid, you want to go for like, you want to fill a garbage bag of candy.
Oh, yeah.
And I had Hello, like case. Morsels. Yeah, that's just it. And, I made it, and we walk up this house, and the door, we knock trick-or-treat, and the door flies open, and there's one of those animatronic Chucky dolls.
Yeah.
And it, like, turns on, it lights up, and the guy, like, pushes it towards us. And I flipped my shit. Like, I think I was 10.
Yeah.
10 or 11, and it freaked me out so bad, I, like, ran home, and I just refused to go out for the rest of for Halloween. My dad was like, come on, it'll be fine. And I was like, no. I didn't. And I was never a huge Halloween kid, and I never went trick-or-treating again.
Now,
so wow. That was my moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, when you sent your message, when you picked this movie, you had implied that you had seen parts of it before? Or am I just reading that wrong? Had you ever seen any Chucky at all?
I'd seen, like, YouTube clips of, okay. Like, the battery. I remember I'd seen the batteries scene where the mom, like, checks for the batteries and then its head, like, whips around.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of when I realized how ridiculous it was that I had this irrational fear of this thing. Like, genuinely, like, this is something that, like, it was crazy big fear of mine. The only sleep paralysis kind of experience that I've had, I was sleeping at my grandma's house and I wake up, quote unquote, I look over and my door creaks open and it's super dark and there's only light that comes through and there's this, like, Chucky-like figure. It wasn't actually a Chucky doll. I don't think my dream could get the rights for it. Yeah. And it just, like, it walked towards my bed and it started crawling up my bed and walking towards me. And then I woke up.
Yeah.
But I was like, it was the only, like, experience I've had like that. So it's like this weird irrational fear of Child's Play was, like, pervasive in my life.
Yeah. And it's just one that just isn't going away. Chucky seems here to stay. I mean, not only is there the reboot, and we didn't plan this because I, you know, Joel picked the movie, but there is now a Chucky series out.
Yeah.
And, like, we didn't plan it to cut this episode to come out around the release of this series, but to find out recently, oh wait, there's a Chucky series too. And when I was doing research, I found out that there's, like, a whole bunch of Chucky short films too. There's, like, 9 Chucky shorts.
What?
Yeah. And so, well, what about you, Colin? Had you had any experience with Child's Play before now?
I've never watched a Chucky movie. I was really into, there was a time where I was really into slasher movies, but I always loved Jason.
Yeah.
So I always loved, like, the Friday the 13th movies and dabbled a little bit in Nightmare on Elm Street and Hellraiser and Halloween, but never really, I don't know, for whatever reason, maybe it was because I love toys and I just didn't want to be traumatized like Joel, so I just avoided... watching Child's Play.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's pretty hard, I think, to go through life and not see a Chucky doll or not, like, have any reference point for who Chucky is. Like, I remember even as recent as like 2 years ago, maybe walking into a Spencer's Gifts and they had like Chucky dolls all on the top, on the like hanging from the roof, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I've always been aware of Chucky, but I've just the concept has never really interested me at all, I guess.
Yeah, it's an odd one. Like you said in your synopsis, I mean, yeah, the wizard, like he's kind of a wizard. Yeah, I know this is one of those franchises that I jumped into at 2 or 3, I think. And I have seen the original before, but it's like Child's Play 2 is one of the ones that I'm more familiar with, like the ending to that one. Child's Play 2 has a big epic ending full of special effects and, you know, Terminator type ending where he gets melted in a vat of wax or something. I don't know, spoiler alert, just in case you're going to go through this franchise. I mean, you should know that considering how many Chucky movies there are that, yeah, he survived, like. but yeah, I mean, I'm more familiar with some of the other ones in the franchise, but I have seen this one. But yeah, it's one of those where I can't help myself when it comes to watching a Chucky movie. I'll watch everyone at least once, like Seed of Chucky and Curse of Chucky, or Cult of Chucky, and like they're so stupid, especially when they add Jennifer Tilly as the girl doll. Well, let's jump into Child's Play. It's directed by Tom Holland, but not Spider-Man Tom Holland, whose directing history is mostly horror stuff. It's produced by David Kirschner, who produced every Chucky movie except for the reboot. It's written by Tom Holland, still not Spider-Man, who is a writer on things like Fright Night and Psycho 2, and John Lafia and Don Mancini. And Don Mancini also directed Seed of Chucky, Cult of Chucky, Curse of Chucky. These guys are like, they've got so much Chucky in their resumes. And so we open the movie on a good old-fashioned police chase, and I must say, it's nice to see Chris Sarandon as a good guy for once. I mean, because I'm so familiar with him in Princess Bride, that to see him as the cop, I mean, it's kind of fun. It's like when Gary Oldman stopped doing bad guys, and suddenly he became, like, Commissioner Gordon, and he became Sirius Black, and, you know, all of a sudden started being the good guy. And so it's fun to see that switch with Chris Sarandon.
You know, he played Winston Churchill, I think.
Did he?
Was it Winston Gary Churchill?
No, he played. Was it Winston? Yeah, it was Winston Churchill. Yeah.
Yeah. So another villain.
Okay, so you kind of touched on it in your synopsis. Again, he's a wizard. What did you think of the whole opening scene here, Colin?
I thought it was good. Probably, like, I was like, as soon as I went into the toy store, I was gonna be like, oh, Sean's gonna have his work cut out for him when it comes to sponsorship corner, because there's so many different toys here and companies. I wish they would have explained a little bit more about who he was. Like, it kind of just, like, starts and they're running, and all of a sudden, it wasn't even until I watched it the second time that I was like, oh, that guy was his getaway driver or whatever.
Yeah, his
like
prime
I just kind of blinked and missed that the first time. And so there's a lot that happens, but it's all just to like get to that point. But, and then even in retrospect, when it, like, was his plan always to put himself in an inanimate object?
No, I don't think it was. I think he originally wanted to be put into a person, but like he's sitting there going, oh God, I'm dying, and all that sort of thing. And he knows he doesn't have any time left, that that's his only out, I guess. That's the only way he can save his soul, is by putting it into a doll. I don't know.
I was such a fan of this intro, because it's just, it throws you right in, like, immediately. First shot, you're running down the alley.
Yeah.
Chased at, shots are firing off. They go into this toy store, and he starts to do a soul transfer on a doll.
Yep, yep.
Awesome. Like, the Undertaker did it, this guy did it. Like, it's perfect. it's ridiculous, but it throws you right in there, but I found it very subversive to what I was expecting, because I didn't really know the backstory of how Chucky came to be. Yeah, I thought it was like a faulty wiring or something, and I was like, nope, nope, this guy full-on Kali Mod his way in there. Like,
yeah, I honestly thought it was going to be more of the trope of, like,
serial killer, like, gets executed, and I don't know, for some reason, like...
How would this even work? Maybe, like, the kid of some guy he killed was there watching the execution and had the doll, and then he dies and goes, whatever, I don't know.
Something. But
I did not think that it was gonna be, like, he's a voodoo master, and in his dying moments manages to, like... mind meld his soul with this doll. And then also, like, that lightning causes this massive explosion.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like the interior of the store is overly affected.
No, it isn't.
The entire front of the store was blown open. Yeah, like, it's Die Hard. Like, this store should have been reduced to ash. And the detective walks back in, and it's still, like, pretty intact, and all the dolls are still in their cases.
Yeah.
I felt really bad for the toy store owner, because I don't know about any insurance policies that cover, like, satanic ritual lightning explosion.
Lightning through the skylight.
you know, because it's lightning that it's going to be classified as, like, an act of God, and I don't think insurance plans cover that.
Yeah. Allstate, I don't know.
Well, especially inside a building. But, you know, I mean, there is this destruction in this toy shop. This doll has come out of the box and everything. But yet someone decides, you know what, we're just going to stick this back in and somehow get it stolen by some bum that will sell it on the street. It's still good. You know, like, it's one of those things where it's like, how did it come out intact? But
that was actually my other question about how is it that the peddler comes to Chucky. Like, he says he just got it from a burnt out thing, but it's like, yeah, he got taken out of the package. Then I was like, well, did Chucky just climb on back into the package and just wait for somebody to pick him up and buy him? But, like, really, if he was already technically alive inside the doll, couldn't he just, like, he didn't have to wait to be bought by anybody or go to anybody's house. He could have just been roaming the streets.
Yeah. That's just it. Like, the question of when Chucky reaches sentience is such a confusing thing to me, because it's like, yeah, why doesn't he just start roaming the streets? Like, why does he wait until he's boxed up again and bought by his peddler and then sold to somebody? Is it like it took a little bit of gradual time before it started to work?
Yeah.
But there's so many things that are left unexplained, and honestly, I loved it, because it was basically just like fuck you, just don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Don't think about it. Don't think about it too hard. And I went, you got it, Tom Holland. Yeah. I understand.
I mean, the thing that I loved about the movie immediately when I put it in was I looked at the runtime and saw it was like an hour and 28 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's my type of movie. And there's no moment to spare. It just hits the ground running and it, like, keeps going.
Well, yeah, I mean, the other thing, like, with your question of why doesn't he just roam the streets, because he does end up finding out that he can only transfer his soul at the end into the person that he showed his form to first. So it's like, if he starts walking down the sidewalk, it's like he can find the first person that he comes across and transfer his soul right then. But I don't know. By the way, your idea of the guy getting executed and ending up, you know, whatever, there is actually a movie from the 80s called Shocker, which has that general plot. Is a guy gets electrocuted in the electrocution chair, and then, I don't know, possesses someone, or maybe he becomes like an electrical monster or something. I don't even remember that one very well, but yeah, there is a movie out there, a slasher movie, where it's that kind of idea.
Sounds like a winner.
But hey, before we leave the toy store, Colin mentioned it. I think all those toys means it's time for Sponsorship Corner!
Shocker.
So always on the lookout for product placements and movies. This week, I summed it up. I didn't look at every toy. I just looked at who made the toy. So Child's Play is brought to you by Mattel, Milton Bradley, Fisher-Price, and Ilco Toys, International Harvester Refrigerators, Ford, Midas, the Chicago Sun-Times, Jimmy Wong's Cantonese Food, and Carson Peary Scott Department Store. Fun fact, that Carson's Department Store is now a Target. Plus the fictional companies of Playland Toys, the TV station WDOL, clever Tom Holland, and Play Partners Toys, the maker of Good Guys Dolls. And I assume, the cereal, too, the Good Guys cereal. And this has been Sponsorship Corner.
We had a lot of them. I remember, I had the same thought as Colin. As soon as he walked in, I was like, oh, Sean. Oh, buddy.
Well, after Fast and the Furious, I don't think I'll ever see anything like that again. What do you think that cereal tastes like?
Fruity, probably?
Yeah, probably like your generic... I'm thinking like Fruit Loops, like that generic just sugar with a tinge of like fruit punch taste.
Yeah.
I was thinking like Fruit Loops, but when you go to a Bulk Barn type situation,
yeah,
and you just get all the Fruit Loops that are at the very bottom that are kind of stale and powdery. That's what the cereal looked like to me. I was like, that looks like it. It cracks teeth.
Yeah. Yeah, our cereal is being eaten by Andy Barclay, who is played by Alex Vincent. He reprises the role in Child's Play 2, Curse of Chucky, and Cult of Chucky. So he came back as an adult to do two more of these movies. So if you want to see this kid's entire arc, go watch those two other movies. But I love how he's adding the sugar to the clearly already sugary cereal. Did you guys ever add sugar to cereal?
Yeah, I was going to say that brought me back, because that's how I always ate my... And like, this is a weird thing about me, but I never eat cereal with milk, but I would always still like take a tablespoon or two of sugar and sprinkle it on cereal and just eat like non-melted sugar and cereal.
Just raw, unprocessed. Yeah.
And I'm just like, how did I not get diabetes? I don't know.
Well, what did you choose to use as your cereal then? What would it be? Something like plain, like a cornflake? I remember I used to add sugar to Rice Krispies.
Yeah, that was me.
But would you wouldn't take something like Cinnamon Toast Crunch and put a couple spoonfuls of sugar on it, would you?
Yeah, no. Not in, but I only ever had, like, I loved Rice Krispies and cornflakes. And I think, like, the furthest I went, I've never been a big cereal person, but, like, I think I topped out at, like, Corn Pops.
Yeah.
But I was never into, like, Frosted, or, like, not Frosted Flakes or Cinnamon Toast Crunch or anything like that.
Yeah, see, I am a cereal lover. I mean, I'm one of these guys that I can sit down and eat a dinner of cereal. And it's like, and I've always got my thing where it's like, I fill up my bowl of cereal, I add my milk, and then I finish that bowl, and then there's still milk in the bottom. So I have to add more cereal. But that's not quite enough milk for the cereal, so I have to add a bit more milk. And I finish that bowl of cereal, and then I want something to soak up that milk. So I usually go through like three bowls of cereal in a sitting, and Cinnamon Toast Crunch, damn, that's my go-to. That's the tops for me right there.
Nice.
I respect the two bowl. When you were starting to say you were going for that third bowl, I was like, damn, this guy's in a whole nother league than I am.
Well, I'm a two-bowl guy.
That third bowl, though, I do measure the cereal out better to the milk. So I don't add more milk. So that's to soak up. So it's usually like a half bowl. It's, you know, it's the piece of toast that you soak up your egg off the plate with. You know, that's what this is at this point is.
It's your sopping cereal. Yeah.
It's my sopping cereal. That's right.
I would have pictured Sean as like, you know, as a teenager, the guy who gets the like oversized bowl and just puts like a half a box of cereal at a time in it, just grabs the jug of milk, sprays it over, and just has this monstrous bowl of cereal.
No, because then the bottom gets too mushy.
See, that's...
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so you're doing it in bursts that way, right?
Yeah. That's kind of my story with cereal. The reason why I don't have... I never like took to cereal with milk, I think, is because I was a daycare kid.
Yeah.
And back in the day, they would make all the bowls of cereal and then put them on the table and then go get all herd all the kids there. So by the time you got it to, it was just this soggy monstrosity. And I just hated it. So like, yeah, I've always hated cereal with milk, and I always hate tuna fish for both. Those are like my two childhood traumas.
Cheese whiz was mine. That was my daycare food that I cannot eat to this day. I refuse.
Oh man, this mom is a saint though. I mean, that kid with his orange juice spilling all over the place and the burnt toast with the big like ice cream scoop of butter on.
so gross.
This movie brought out something in me that only happens once in a while watching films. There's something about movies where I watch kids make a big ass mess that just makes me furious. It just makes me like irrationally so mad. I see this kid walking around the house just spilling milk onto the carpet, and I was going, the carpet, the carpet.
Well, he was spilling orange juice.
Seriously, so bad.
Orange juice would stain.
I also love how absolutely metal this kid is, and he demonstrates it immediately. He sees that the toast is burning, and he just grabs it bare fingers, no hesitation.
He's a baller.
Just slaps it on the plate, no problem.
Yeah, that kid's hardcore.
Yeah, not at all.
I also really like that he's making her breakfast in bed on his birthday.
Yeah, that's
impressive to me.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. Well, and I love the psych out with the present, though, where he sees the one present and is like, oh, I know what that is. Like, it reminds me, I think it's Family Guy. It might be The Simpsons, but there's a cartoon where it's a bike shape that's all wrapped up. And someone says, oh, I know what this is. And he unwraps it, and it's like a T-shirt inside. Like, it's one of those funny sight gags that I remember. I just don't remember what cartoon it is. And that's how this is. It's like, could that mom have had an even bigger box for, like, a few outfits?
Yeah, like a pair of jeans that she's like, I need to get it altered.
Yeah. Happy birthday. Yeah, we need to fix this before you can wear it.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays, I love socks or underwear. I mean, I'll take it every day of the week. But at, what, was this kid six? Like, no. You get that doll, mom. And, like, I mean, you gotta wonder how she's in such a nice place when she has a line that says, I didn't have time to save up this month for that. And it's like, oh, shit. Like, this is like a $70 doll, an $80 doll, and she didn't have time to save up for it. But she's in a nice place.
She's working like a pretty standard retail job where she has to take like the worst treatment from her boss and cover shifts on her kid's birthday, getting like no overtime. Yeah, she has to scrounge together like $80. I think the implication of like the clothing was that it was like a hand-me-down, like a thrifted item, being like, yeah, I need to get it altered, as in I couldn't like just go buy you something that would fit. And then you go to her house and it's like six rooms.
Yeah.
It's a maze. They do a full-on maze shot of it, like it's in The Shining.
Yeah. That's just typical, like, 80s TV movie house. Like, that's my question with most, having bought my own house now and seeing what, like, money runs you. It's like, when I watch these movies or watch, like, sitcoms and stuff, like the Friends apartment is the perfect example.
Exactly. Like, this is a Friends apartment is what it is.
That apartment is, like, $2 million. Like, yeah. There's no way that Monica, this like a single woman with a roommate, could afford that apartment.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, is she just in a shitty part of town? I mean, her building has a skylight, too, just like the toy store. I gotta love, is that just so that they could reuse the same shot? Like, what's with all these buildings with skylights in this city? I mean, I love her elevator. I love the center, like, the old-fashioned wrought iron, but, like, This place is way too nice for that job if she can't afford an $80 doll this month.
Yeah.
Of course, I mean, it does also, they do also kind of set it up to make it sound like these dolls are brand new. So, I mean, if they've just come out.
They're hot off the presses.
Yeah. I don't know. But I thought that this kid was pretty good. I think he had a few acting chops in him.
I think he had a couple scenes that were winners. I think he had a couple scenes that were like hilariously, yeah, this is a child actor.
Yeah.
Like the scene in spoilers when he goes like the psychiatrist's office and he's like locking himself in because Chucky's coming to get him. And he just like turns away from the door and he starts like bawling and he collapses to his feet. I was like, wow, that's like really good.
Yeah.
And there's another scene where Chucky was chasing him and he was going, no, no, oh no, no. It's like, what do they do to him in that one scene to make him cry like that?
Yeah. I don't know if I like his mom, though, as an actress.
Ugh. I hate her.
Okay.
She's the mom from Seventh Heaven. Like, the worst, like, one of the worst. I hate that TV show as well. But, yeah. I mean, she's like my... We got over the summer, I think it was last year? Yeah, when we were, like, pandemic binging. We got the CBS All Access or whatever. My wife was binge watching Seventh Heaven, and it was the worst time of my life. It's the only true struggle I've had in the pandemic.
Well, I remember her from Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Okay.
She was the whale trainer or whatever, right? But she delivered lines pretty badly, and it's just like, oh, yeah, I don't. She's not great in this. But I did read, though, that Chris Sarandon gave up top billing on this movie. The studio was going to give it to him, and he's like, no, it should go to her because she drives the story.
And so, he just drives.
That's right. I need to throw a rim shot in on that one.
Well, that's a winner. That's a zinger. That's why they pay me the big bucks.
I will give some credit to, like, the actors, specifically, like, Karen and Andy, when it comes to dealing with Chucky, like, the scenes where they're filming with Chucky. Like, I thought the kid who played Andy did a good job of, like, before you ever see Chucky talk himself, like, they do a good job of, like, building that relationship, like, where they're, like, you can see him, like, kind of holding Chucky up so that it looks like Chucky's whispering in his ear and kind of stuff. Like, I thought that kind of stuff was cool. The, like, Karen's, like, fight with Chucky, I just feel like that would be so hard, especially then. Like, now they could, like, CGI some stuff and make it, like, whatever, but back then when you're literally just having to, like, play Russell this... This doll would be, I don't know, that'd be tough.
You have to channel your childhood on that one. I mean, did you have those big wrestling pillows growing up?
Yeah, the wrestling buddies.
I think it also made for some of my absolute favorite scenes, because in some of it, like, I will say, the practical effects of the doll, especially once it becomes more human, like, really hold up and look really solid. Whereas the shots where it's, like, still just a doll, like, it looks ridiculous. And it makes for my absolute favorite shots in the movie where they throw it. They throw it away. It goes from being, like, humanized and, like, anthropomorphic, whatever, to just, like, limp, just tossed like a tissue.
Yeah.
Just, like, across the room, and it gets up, and it's fine. It's
well, just, and Chucky's go-to move is always, like, landing on the floor and rolling under something.
Defying gravity and just getting, like, vacuumed under stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I did read a whole bunch about the fact that Chucky is made up of an animatronic... and also a combination of child and little person, like, stunt people. So, like,
okay, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, so, like, when Chucky runs by behind Aunt Maggie, that's actually the kid's younger sister. It's a little girl
dressed up like Chucky that runs by.
The one that's in the fire is a little person stunt man, and they actually had to build a special fireplace that was a little bit bigger so that the man who was taller than the doll looked the right size in the fireplace. But that's actually a stunt guy lit on fire flailing about in the ending there.
That's actually awesome.
Yeah.
I agree with Drew. Like, I was surprised. Like, when you first see him talk, I think it's when the mom is, like, threatening to throw him in the fireplace or whatever, and he, like, really comes to life.
Yeah.
I did not expect it to hold up as well as it does.
Yeah.
I thought Chucky was gonna look more cheap.
Yeah.
Even in those moments.
But I will say, charred Chucky was definitely something that was really, when he's, like, just this black skeleton walking down the hall with the metal fingertips, you know. That shows you how dangerous those toys are on the inside.
Oh, no.
But that was awesome. Like, it looked so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did read that with Chucky, there were rumors, like, he was played by Brad Dourif, who voiced every Chucky except the reboot where it's Mark Hamill. But there were rumors that John Lithgow, Gary Oldman, oh my God, it came full circle, and Andrew Divoff, I don't know who he is, were all considered for the role of Chucky. And the voice of, like, quote-unquote normal Chucky is Eden Gross, who is the voice of the 1980s interactive Corky doll. So this guy that was the voice of one of these actual childhood dolls that I was talking about in the beginning, he was the one that did the voice of, like, innocent Chucky. And it's like, oh my God, that must have been devastating to the sales of those Corky dolls in the 80s. once this movie came out.
Not the best career move.
This guy probably made more off of the Chucky movies, though. But I mean, can you imagine a John Lithgow Chucky?
He's so good. I wish I could do a John Lithgow impression, because I was I was like, this would be a really good opportunity for that, but I have absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't say I do either.
What a thrilling anecdote.
You were on the edge of your seat. I saw it. I saw it.
Yeah, this is awesome.
So I gotta wonder about Aunt Maggie getting taken out so easily with a toy hammer. Like, my first thought was, how dangerous are these kids' hammers? But then when you see the cop holding it later in the bag, it's like, it's so small that I'm just like, really? Like, that's gonna send you out the fucking window?
Yeah, no, I'm just gonna say it. And she's a bitch. She got absolutely gooned on. She got clowned. She got hit once, and she flew back 6 feet. Like, she's in an old, like, ragtime cowboy movie, flying out the saloon. I also question that the only time where the woman's, how much money she had to spend on her space really showed was in that scene, because apparently that entire window is made out of balsa wood. She hit that with zero force, and she flew out like she just got, like, Bruce Lee kicked straight through there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. There's probably, like, a 10-foot lead-up to where she starts, to where that window is. She gets hit in the face, sure, but, like, they don't show Chucky pushing her or anything, and then all of a sudden it's like she's getting, like, thrown to the edge of the room and through the window, and I was just like, it basically comes across like she got hit in the face, just decided life wasn't worth living, and I'm gonna just run out the fucking window.
That was her moment.
Take a swan dive.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you can see on her face as she's going, is just like, how much further back is this wall? Fuck!
Yeah. She's checking her mark as she's walking backwards.
That's right. Oh, but I do love, though, when they hold up the bag with the hammer in it, that the one cop goes, the murder weapon? You're kidding, right? Like, it's just like, exactly!
I absolutely love the sound that it made when she got hit in the head. Like, it was just like it was just very, like, cartoony. And then the fact that she again flew back, like, across the entire length of the apartment from kitchen to front door.
Yeah.
You know? She was gone.
Yeah. It seemed like kind of a neat, like, I don't understand why Chucky was so angry that he needed to kill her.
Yeah.
Just because she wouldn't let him watch some TV.
Oh, exactly.
Like, I feel like he would have killed the mom, like, much earlier. Like, she's just generally annoying, so I don't know.
Yeah. Why did he let her pick him up and all that sort of thing?
Yeah.
He should have just slashed her Achilles tendon, because that's, like, his other go-to move is, I'm going to stab you in the back of the ankle.
That's his other go-to move.
As he can get, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually, I don't understand the motivation for who he kills and why and when. It's telling that there's nothing really stopping him. Like, again, it's like, why didn't he? I know, like, obviously there was plot reasons later on as to why he couldn't just kill the kid, but it's like, why would you kill the aunt and then just go and, like, chill back in bed?
Yeah.
Go get there, like, all right, gotta get my beauty rest. Like, what's going on there?
That was one thing I didn't understand. I get wanting to kill, I think his name is Eddie, like his accomplice there who hung him out to dry.
Yeah.
And I get wanting to kill the detective, but he's supposed to be like a serial killer. So I was kind of like, why isn't he like serial killing? Like, he doesn't seem like he's on the hunt to just like kill people like willy nilly necessarily.
He's kind of got the perfect cover if you think about
it. Yeah, and he's got the perfect cover. So it's just kind of like, why is he? Why are they just fixating on revenge?
Yeah.
And, like, why would, like to me, the way that Child's Play should start is, like, this person, like, his whole thing is, like, I get bought by people, I come out of the box, I murder them all, I jump back in the box, people find the dead people, they're like, oh, this doll, whatever, he ends up in, like, a garage sale, somebody else picks him up, he kills them, like, wash. It's kind of like that Goosebumps book, Night of the Living Dummy.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was gonna be like, and then it's like, no, he just goes to one family, single mother, he doesn't attack the working class, and then he...
Well, I did read that one of the original ideas from the writer or the director was to make it longer before Chucky actually gets revealed as being an actual like sentient being, like to make you think that it was the kid that was going all psycho. Like it was supposed to make you think that the kid was lying. Yeah. He wasn't supposed to reveal himself until all the way up till like the kid is committed in that like dangerous hospital. He's in Arkham Asylum.
Yeah. And I think like that was another thing is I wonder if it's like a hindsight thing because like I know that Chucky is like the murderous doll.
Yeah.
I wonder what it would have been like in 1988 without any knowledge of Chucky if that would have like resonated a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because I think I agree. Like I think that is the play to make this a really interesting movie is to like the movie probably should have been longer, but if you got to like the hour and a half mark of a 2-hour movie, it's like at that point, I should really be confused about whether or not it's the kid or the doll.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it just that just doesn't happen because I have 20 years or whatever of knowing that Chucky is who Chucky is, right? So
yeah. I was waiting for like, it could have been a lot more. Like, it could have been there like Luke, I am your father type twist where they lean more into like the omen side of like this kid is demented, but you don't really see exactly what they do.
Yeah.
What if it was the doll that was doing it, but the kid also like messed up? Yeah.
Well, instead of Empire, I mean, I would keep with the slasher idea and go Psycho, right? I mean, Psycho is the same idea, is you're led to believe that it's his mother all along.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to the ending, you find out that no, it isn't. And that's kind of how this could have played out if they had left that in a bit longer. And it might have been more interesting to think that the kid was doing it all along. But they reveal him right there standing on the countertop. Yeah. I mean,
I think also they needed to remove the magic spell. what if the murderer had just like without magic had just died in the thing, because then it just stays like, then that would have been a cool reveal, like, oh, when he died his soul like went into this doll.
Do that scene as a flashback, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, having the giant lightning storm and the magic incantations, it kind of gives it away right at the beginning.
It does their big reveal immediately. They're like, oh, he soul transfers into... Yeah, it could have been much more interesting if you didn't know that he did that. And also, again, if doing it didn't, I don't know, blow up an entire store.
Well, I do love that the case that they have, I mean, all hinges on this hammer and also the footprints in the flower on the counter. I gotta say, there's some sloppy police work going on in this apartment when the cops are there. I mean, there's the cops that are lounging on the couch with their feet up on the table, and the kid wearing his onesie pajamas right next to the doll whose feet are up covered in the flower. I mean, it's like, how are you not seeing any of this? I don't know. It's just...
My favorite part was when the mom comes home, obviously distressed because like her best friend was just murdered by potentially her son. And she just goes, I want everybody out of here. Out of this like active crime scene with evidence everywhere. And the detectives go, yeah, all right. And they just leave.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah,
boys.
That's the other part of it. Oh yeah. You know, we're done in here anyway.
Sorry. Lady.
I've seen CSI.
Of course.
That's not
sorry to disturb you, ma'am.
Yeah. Oh, and I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's just like, man, these are some sloppy cops right here. I don't know. I mean, I kind of like the Chris Sarandon a bit in this movie, but I mean, there's other parts where it's just like, oh, you're just terrible at this, aren't you?
Yeah. I also love the trope that they lean into, which is an all-time favorite trope of mine. And when you're trying to show that a police officer is an asshole, especially in like the 80s, handlebar mustache.
Oh, yeah.
He gave his partner, they were like, big handlebar. You just know he's an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
You just know. They don't need to introduce his character. You see him and go, ah, he's a son of a bitch.
Not just the mustache, but also like the gum chewing. Like, you gotta have someone that's sitting there, like, just chewing away on that gum with his handlebar mustache. Yeah. That's how you know he's tough. And then, I mean, like, he comes in at the end, and he's just like, oh, well, I believe it now. Right? Like, but, I mean, he comes in, right? He bursts in at the end there, and, like, Karen's got her gun drawn on him. And he's just like, whoa, hey,
I caught you at the wrong
casual.
Time.
Yeah, like, my bad. Whoa.
Yeah, let's just give Karen a gun. I mean, why not? Like, I really don't have a lot of faith in these cops' copying abilities. Like, it's just...
I think that their police work, the quality of their police work was made immediately evident in the first scene when Chris Sarandon shoots the guy twice in the toy store and then he can't find him in the toy store. It's not that big.
Yeah. And he's got a trail of blood.
He's not moving far.
Yeah.
You can find the guy. He just stood there in the entrance just listening to the guy yell.
I liked him. I mean, I do like his detective work in that he's like really just trying to like make it nice with the kid to just like get the kid to do whatever he wants. He's like, oh, cool pajamas, like show me your shoes or whatever.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff.
Did he get dressed today? I mean, that's the thing, is you like he's wearing those same pajamas in the morning and then Aunt Maggie takes him at night. Like it's his birthday. Did he spend the whole day in pajamas?
When you were a kid, would you not try to spend the whole day in, like, a superhero costume?
Oh, I would, yeah.
I rest my case.
I thought it was weird that his pajamas had shoes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, the soles of them looked exactly like they were, like, shoe soles, not like little, like, footy things that you have. I also thought it was weird that why would he dress up? I mean, I guess it's, like, the whole good guy thing, but do all the good guys dress up like that? Like, yeah. Is there more than one... Does every good guy have, even though they all look the same, do they all have different names?
I think so. I think they give different names when they introduce themselves, but they're all in the overalls and the striped shirts and the, like, because all the dolls look the same. Until later Chucky movies where they add the girl doll.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I even find it weird, though, that in the pattern on the bottom of the shoes is, like, a gun. Is one of the pictures on the bottom. You know, like, are you trying to make them out to be cowboys? Because they're not cowboys. And, like, the other accessory that you can buy for them is construction equipment. So, like, what are these good guy dolls?
In the first scene in the toy store, when Chris Sarandon's, or the other guy's walking around bleeding everywhere, just making a mess for the janitor, as he walks by one of the aisles, you can see, like, a good guy branded, like, it's like a submachine gun. That's, like, cartoony. And there's, like, a wall of them. So I was also confused. I'm like, what are they trying to do? Is it like a career day? Or is it, you can be a construction worker or a marine.
Yeah.
You can be an assassin for hire with your good guy doll.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at the sole of the good guy's shoe right now. And if I were to just look at this shoe, I would say you're probably not a good guy. It's like an axe, a baton, a hammer, and a gun.
Oh, so it's covered with pictures of irony.
Yeah. It's just covered with tools of violence, and then a cowboy hat, and maybe the axe, and this might be a firefighter's hat. Maybe it's an axe and a firefighter's hat or something. I don't know, but
yeah,
still.
Okay, so it's like career bitch Barbie or something like that, but with Chucky.
Yeah.
Okay, I read that the serial killer that is Chucky, Charles Lee Ray. Is a combination of Charles Manson, Lee Harvey Oswald, and James Earl Ray. That's how they got his name.
Hmm. So
they put some thought into it, you know.
Gotta love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost think, like, there should be a version of Chucky that is kind of like a Charles Manson, like, possessed doll. I would think that would be cool.
I was going to go the other route with it, and I was going to say there should be a version of Chucky that assassinates the president.
Yeah, or Martin Luther King. I mean, yeah. We've got two different assassins on that list, so...
Two good shooters, you know?
Yeah, but...
That's true. If Chucky was the assassin, you could just find him on the grassy knoll, and no one would be any of the wiser. They would just be like, oh, the murderer forgot his doll, and they would search for years. And then the doll disappears.
I think we're onto something.
That's right. I don't know, but I think they're kind of turning... Andy into a bit of a killer at this point too. I mean, look at the trauma this kid is going through at like 6 years old, and the mom is like, Andy, the matches, light a fire, you know. And it's just like, oh, isn't lighting fires one of the signs that you could be a sociopath or a psychopath or something like that? I mean, I don't know, I thought that was one of the signs.
He's just really into camping.
Yeah, oh, well, there could be that. A really yeah, good he's Cub a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
There were some original script ideas that I read for this movie. One of them was that the dolls had latex skin and blood, and the good guys' bandages are sold separately. And so it was a blood pact with Andy that was going to be what brought Chucky to life. I don't... I don't know why you do a blood pact with a doll. And and another possible title for this movie was going to be Batteries Not Included, until they found out that Spielberg was making a movie with that name. And then Blood Buddy, which would have gone with the blood pact idea. And it's like, Blood Buddy. Like,
like... sounds really inviting. Yeah. It's a Red Cross sponsored toy.
Yeah. And I also read that Charles Lee Ray, there was an idea floating around that he would be Andy's dad. That was another possibility.
I would have liked to see where they would have made that relevant at any point during the plot that we saw.
Yeah.
As he's dying, instead of going, oh my God, I'm dying, he goes, oh no, I'll never meet my son, Andy.
Oh, I mean, there... I just thought of this. What about the fact that he's named Andy and the kid in Toy Story is named Andy? And I've already said that there's a couple moments that remind me of Toy Story. I wonder if Andy was an intentional choice by the Toy Story guys.
Hmm. So, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. As an homage to Child's Play?
I mean, anything is possible.
I suppose so. But yeah, anytime you do see pictures of Andy's dad, though, in this movie, it's actually, they're pictures of Tom Holland.
Do we? I didn't even remember seeing any pictures of him.
Yeah, there's one in his room, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I did think the scene that was sad, considering that it's a murderous doll, was when they're in the room and Chucky's sitting on the chair and Andy's like, Chucky told me that Daddy sent him from heaven or whatever to, like, protect me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, you poor kid.
Well, yeah, I mean... That kid, I mean, there was a part of me that gave me actual anxiety when he takes the train to the bad part of town. Like, it's just like, I mean, this is one of those moments where, you know, like Joel mentioned, there's some good acting moments and some bad acting moments. But yeah, I like when he goes to take Chucky to Eddie's house, you know, and they blow it up and everything. But yeah, I liked, I gotta go pee or whatever he says, you know.
Tinkle. He says tinkle. He has to take a tinkle.
That's right.
Can I just say, I really liked that scene because he goes from, all right, Mom, I'm going to school, no problem, gonna go study. He steps inside the school for maybe 30 seconds, and then he's like, all right, I'm hopping a train. Hopping a train. How does he know how the train system works? How does he know how to get there? How could he afford a ticket? If his mom obviously doesn't have money, where did he get the money from to, like, hop on this train? Or they just like, oh, this kid's cute. We'll let him take up two seats. On this busy train.
Yeah, how did nobody stop
this parentless kid?
How did nobody stop this kid? What type of bus driver, train driver, whatever, just lets him get off in this, like, slum?
Yeah. Into this part of town where there's at least, like, in a field, it's just, like, a bunch of chairs and, like, old tires just directly beside, like, old broken down houses. And they're like, yeah, this kid knows what he's doing. He's having a little adventure.
Yeah, just taking a tinkle. Yeah.
He's being a girl boss, you know? He's just taking life into his own hands.
Yeah.
There's something about, I feel like, even, like, having just watched Arachnophobia, but these movies of the 80s and 90s, they just love, like, blowing up houses.
Yeah.
That's where $8.9 million of the $9.2 million budget went, is into those, like, three houses.
Massive explosions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also found, like... when he goes to meet, I don't even remember, the black voodoo magic guy his master wizard, was just like, I just wanted to be like, why did it have to be a black guy? Why is the only black guy in this movie this voodoo?
This voodoo criminal.
The only black character with a name is like, a voodoo serial killer or like a voodoo Satanist.
Yeah.
He gets a little bit of redemption in that he's like... He tries to stop him at the end, and he's all like, you're an abomination!
See, but he loses all redemption in that he makes a voodoo doll of himself.
Of himself, yeah.
Yeah.
And then shows people. He's like, hey, this is a voodoo doll of me. Here you go, Charles Lee Ray, give it a toss. See how, see how you like it. I couldn't think of a plausible explanation as to why somebody would build a voodoo doll that works of themselves, like, easily. Like, he just went, boop, and his arms would, like, snap, and his legs were splaying. I think it's a sex thing.
Oh,
I think he built the voodoo doll. I think it's that he can get that forbidden touch on there, you know?
Yeah, that's
self-fellatio.
That's just it. Yeah. There's no other reasonable explanation.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that too, because at first I was like, well, Chucky clearly didn't have time to just make this voodoo doll. He just found it. But yeah, what type of idiot keeps a voodoo doll of themselves in their own house?
Yeah.
Not locked in a safe.
Chucky even says, he's like, yeah, I had time to prepare, so I grabbed this. And he goes, oh, put that down. And he goes, you shouldn't be showing these things to people.
Yeah.
So like, he obviously was just like having people over for like, you know, like wine and cheese or whatever. And he's like, come on, sit down. So here's my voodoo doll. Yeah. Everybody, you know.
When he gets really drunk.
Oh. Yeah. You know what I bet he does? He did like little, he like... To go back to the sex thing, he like, you know, he could like rub the voodoo doll and be like, look guys, it's working.
It's a magic trick. Want to see how I do autoerotic asphyxiation with a doll instead of a belt?
See, but when I invite people over to do that at my Tupperware parties, I'm a sex criminal.
Oh boy. So we get another week where we get to see a bunch of flaming barrels, Colin.
Yeah.
Crow last week, and now we've got a car chase that is scattering flaming barrels all over the place. Oh, never have you ever seen a flaming barrel, Joel?
Oh, all the time. Walking to school, walking back to school,
Okay. Between
classes at school, in my backyard. I just keep those things ready to go, you know? It's like in the winter, how else are you supposed to stay warm? I go through all my tires, you know, during the fall. It's the flaming barrels. I love that that's a trope. I always love the flaming barrel as a cliche thing, because, never in my life.
So one of the other locations we haven't talked about is Charlie Ray's apartment. I mean, it's definitely cleaner than Eddie's, because Eddie has all those rats crawling around, but Charles Lee Ray... it's definitely a bit of a den of nightmares. Like, what's with the mannequin arm coffee table?
I'm so into it. He's got that avant-garde lifestyle on lock. I want to know whose interior designer is. I want to know, did he paint all the things on the walls? Did he paint
That's what
all
I'm
like,
wondering.
The Satanist imagery?
Yeah.
Maybe he's just like a really repressed artist, and the way that he expresses himself is through like being the strangler.
Yeah.
They say in the beginning of the movie. Maybe serial killing is like his side gig and his art is his full-time passion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, serial kill. That's the side hustle.
And yeah.
It's very lucrative, that serial killing. And of course, with all the pictures that are on the wall, I mean, we get a bunch of like convenient exposition out of these paintings where it's like, oh, hey, look, it's a voodoo guy that is performing a spell. Wait a minute, let's connect these dots, you know?
They were like a voodoo guy that looks exactly like the real guy with no other information about him. We will track him down.
Well, and I like how now Karen is just apparently a cop because she's being taken to all these places. She's leading the investigation, and now all of a sudden the cop has become the sidekick.
You know? Like instead of being in witness protection or something, she's just like tagging along.
Yeah,
she's on a ride along with them. My favorite thing about the whole apartment was that they just show you all this like weird imagery on the walls, and they expect you to just go, "Yeah, okay, makes sense."
Yeah,
makes that sense tracks. How we do a soul transfer and blow up a building. Sure, he has some freaky paintings on the walls. His apartment's all done up, all weird. It's kind of shitty.
Yeah,
makes sense to me. I, a viewer, have no further questions.
Yeah,
shouldn't there have been more between Mike and Chucky? In that, like, they spend the first 5 minutes of the movie or whatever shooting at each other, chasing afterwards. It's like, but even when he realizes, like, it is Charles Lee Ray, he's just kind of still, like, whatever about it. It's not like, I felt like he needed more of, like, this is the job I have to finish. Like, this is my career's.
Yeah. I don't think he asked a single question. Again, like everybody just goes, okay, this is our reality now. And they just move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. They needed more of like a showdown. They needed more of an acknowledgement that they like hate each other. He tracked down and killed his accomplice. And then he was just like, he seemed more hellbent on killing the mom and son than he did on killing the detective. Like that was his whole motivation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they almost needed Chucky to have like a, like most times in movies, like serial killers have like a MO or like a calling card that they leave behind. for people to find. But Chucky doesn't really have that, but I feel like it could have lent something to the movie if he did, and that was something that, like, Mike picked up on. Yeah. To be like, wait, Chucky? Like, and, like, connected the dots between Chucky and Charles Lee Ray.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, like, I mean, with your calling card idea, I mean, there's... Let's get to the climax of this movie, right? I mean, it starts off with Chucky riding up in the elevator while the kid's barricading the door. And there's an old couple there that, like, they make the comment of ugly doll. You know, and they walk away and we get Chucky saying, fuck you, right? I mean, I love it, right? But that would have been a perfect opportunity to slay some senior citizens and have the cop come upon that when they get to the apartment at the end. So I mean, that's perfect. But I love how the kid is barricading the door. I think he brings over like skis at one point or something like that, and like props them against the door. It's like, oh good, oh no, it's a toboggan. Yeah. And it's like, oh good, you got that extra weight on there, Chucky's not gonna get in now. And then he just comes down the fucking chimney.
ho.
Cold cocks the kid with the baseball bat.
That was so funny to me because it just shows, like, I have so many questions about this movie. Again, like, how much strength does Chucky have?
Yeah.
Is it, like, this movie, it left so many questions unanswered. Like, does he have human, like, strength compact into that child, like, doll body? Like,
yeah.
Does he have that, like, power lifter build going on?
Like Ant-Man. When Ant-Man is tiny, he's still got the strength of a regular man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, yeah. Because, like, when he smacks Aunt May, I think, and she goes, woo! And flies out the window, she, you know, is still conscious and rolls back 6 feet and falls out. Whereas when he hits anybody else, they just like collapse to the ground.
Yeah.
They just like immediately like get cold cocked, knocked out. And it's like, what limits are on his strength? Is he really, I don't know. It doesn't make any real sense throughout the entire movie. And it's like they keep changing the rules.
Well, yeah. And because the voodoo guy is saying that he's turning human. And if you actually watch, as the movie goes on, Chucky's hairline starts receding a little bit and he starts looking more human because he is turning human.
But at that
point, like, only his heart is actually human. But it's just, if he's turning human, then he should have human strength. But he's a doll size. Yeah, it is kind of, what is his power?
It's just left with no explanation. It's just an instance of... Just accept it and move on. This movie's not that serious.
Don't overthink it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why it makes more sense when he goes for like things like slashing the back of the ankles or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Electroshock therapy in the guy to death.
Which is, or like, it's why I was so confused when like when he has Mike in the car and he tries to choke him out with like jumper cables or something.
Yeah.
But he has a knife that he then stabs through the entire seat. And first of all, car seats are very thick. It's a lot of insulation there. So he's obviously strong, but also, like, I don't know, his motivation as a murderer, they make no sense as an actual, like, trying to efficiently kill people. Why need to stab Mike in the car? I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Yeah, and I mean, there was the one point where he ended up stabbing his knife into the gas pedal so that it would keep going. But why has, like, 3 or 4 minutes already passed and you haven't hit the fucking brakes? Like, there is the one shot down by his feet where you see him, like, struggling to find the gas, but it's, like, it's not hard to find the brake. Like, reach down and pull the e-brake or something. Like, come on.
Pedal
on
the left, buddy. It's all good.
Yeah. He's not a good cop.
He's awful. Just, like, there's so many scenes that we can just quickly gloss over because everything happens so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, the kid literally gets admitted. They do the whole car chase scene, and then the kid gets admitted to a psych ward, and he's just, like, out, and it just doesn't get addressed again. Like, he's just in, the doctor gets killed, and he's just brought out of the psych ward, no problem.
Yeah, and the cop shows up to save the day and gets stabbed in the leg, and then he can't do anything from there on. And this apartment is apparently a big circle because they can chase around this apartment without ever coming to a dead end. and physics just get thrown out the window at one point when Chucky gets shot in the leg and he gets like blown back sideways in this weird way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's awesome. Again, it's like those are my favorite scenes where they just like go from being like, this doll has like weight to it, to all of a sudden like, it's a doll, it's made of foam, and it just like flies back. And they're so silly looking.
And I thought there was another big missed opportunity when he finally gets shot in the heart in the bedroom and he like he crumples to the ground, but he should have flipped him the bird first. Like, he should have I thought there was a middle finger coming, and I'm like, oh, see, that's a missed opportunity right there.
Yeah, I thought that he did. I thought that he did, but then I realized that he didn't, and I was disappointed.
Yeah.
At the core of it, this movie is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That is Child's Play. Now, Colin, Joel, on IMDb, it scored 6.6 out of 10 and has a Metascore of 58. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 71% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 63%. But Colin, those are just numbers. There's no other way into this. Like a hammer to the face. Hit us with some reviews.
All right. I just had like a little heart palpitation because I was like, did I even remember to do reviews for this? But we're good. All right. The first review I have is from James J. He gives the movie 2.5 out of 5 stars. He says, I'm just now getting into horror films, so I'm catching up on older ones. This one was better than I expected. For a small budget 1988 film, it has some rather big scenes. A midpoint exploding house and a runaway car both look good. I like the black comedy laughs, but funniest is the 1980s fashions. Worst looks ever in the history of clothing, IMO. I didn't even feel like I really paid attention to the 80s fashion.
No, I don't know if I did either. I was more focused on the 80s amount of smoking or the boss at the store where it's like, is he actually allowed to keep her like that?
Yeah. That was one thing we didn't talk about. That boss, like, what a dick.
He was the real villain of the movie.
Yeah, he was actually the real villain. And just everything that, like, when people talk about, like, toxic masculinity and like systemic sexism, and that I was like, that guy is he encapsulates all of this stuff.
Oh yeah,
so bad.
Every bad experience from working retail jobs under certain managers just like rushed back into me watching that, and I was like clenching my fist.
Yeah,
that was the most like, oh yeah, they, name Walter,
they should have given like a poetic justice moment of Chucky coming after him.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah, that would have been nice
when he said the line, are you happy with your job? I was like, I'm ready to punch my screen. I was like, I hate this guy.
Yeah, he is the worst.
Yeah.
The next one comes from an unnamed user. They gave the movie 3.5 out of 5 stars. They say, Child's Play. Hearing that makes you think it was a kid's movie. But after seeing it, it obviously wasn't. Child's Play is probably the best creative horror. Oh, there's punctuation missing.
But after seeing it...
It obviously wasn't, period. Child's Play is probably the best creative horror movie I've ever seen. Sadly, it wasn't scary, but it was creative. Chucky looked real as ever, especially how it was filmed back in the day. This movie was pretty good. I'm going to give Child's Play a B+.
You know, that reminds me of a story from my video store days. Because I worked in 2 different video stores. I did work in Blockbuster, but I also worked in one of the ones that had, you know, the saloon door room in the back, you know? And,
I don't know, Sean. Can you please give some explicit details as to what you mean with the analogy?
It had one of the porno rooms. One of the dirty movie rooms in the back. And I remember this one woman coming up to the counter one day, and she had a movie in her hand. And, like, she had just come out of the kids section, and she's like, Pocahontas. She had an accent, right? Pocahontas. And we're like, yes, Pocahontas. Yeah, the Disney movie. She's like, no, Pocahontas. And then I looked at the cover, and it's like, it's poke a hot ass. And I'm like, oh, shit, that one doesn't belong in that section. Someone had shelved it incorrectly, put it behind the Pocahontas cover. And so, I mean, that's what I think of here is, you know, this person saying that Child's Play. I thought it was a kid's movie. I thought it was a Peppa Pig adventure or some shit. But it's like, nope. No, it's, it's Killer Doll. Killer Doll. Chucky is one mean SOB.
Yeah. Owen N. gives the movie 4 out of 5 stars and says, this movie is awesome. It's a great start to the Child's Play franchise. It could be a little bit shorter, but I still love watching it every 1 or 2 years. I definitely recommend it. It's a bland review, but I selected it because how could this movie have possibly been any shorter?
It was so tight.
It was so tight already.
Let's cut out all that nasty exposition of why things are happening. We'll cut out the opening scene. We'll cut out the kid on the train. He'll just suddenly be in the bad part of town for some reason.
Yeah, yeah, there we go. Tinkle. Yeah.
That'll shave 10 minutes off.
I was about to say, if you were to shave out the exposition from this movie, I think you would shave off. Well, the intro scene is 6.5 minutes, so I think you would shave off about 7 minutes of this movie if you took out all the exposition, because nothing gets explained like at all.
Well, yeah, because some of the stuff about Eddie is just explained on the news in the background because they're looking for his partner or whatever, right? Yeah.
Yeah. The majority of the exposition is just like characters catching up other characters on what the audience already knows.
Yeah, and the picture's painted on his wall.
Yeah. And we just go, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
The last one I have is from May Diana R. 5 out of 5 stars. This film is good with no adult scenes, so people of all ages can enjoy this film. But, however, there are some things that are not suitable for children to watch because there are so many scenes that make children traumatized, especially violence and scenes of murder. Well, here, I am afraid and quite worried that the children will imitate scenes like that. I admit that as an adult, this film is tense and scary.
That's such a pure review. They wrote that with such a good heart. Yeah. They meant well.
Some parts of it are a little scary. Wow. I mean, even Chucky's face melting would be enough to give kids nightmares. Forget all the murder stuff. Like, when he starts melting at the end, like, that would be enough to make me say, what? This is Exhibit A, reviewer, right here. And let me get down to Exhibit Z, because, like, there's plenty of evidence here that this is not a kid's movie.
I'm such a fan of that review, because they're like, this movie is good for people of all ages, except for people that are between these ages. It's like, okay, all right, you got there eventually. You got to your point.
Yeah, it's like, it's one of those reviews that's written as you're thinking. Like, generally, if I were to write a review, I might write it on, like, my notepad first and then edit it and be like, oh, does this make sense? No, okay, take this out. Okay, put this in, and then put the review up. But this person is like, they were just on Rotten Tomatoes writing and thinking aloud. Like, it's just thinking aloud.
Stream of consciousness, yeah.
Yeah, just word vomit.
Stream of consciousness review.
I think those are the best kind. Again, like I said, that whoever wrote that, I just imagined, I don't know who wrote it or what their name was, but I just imagined it was like a nice old lady writing that review. Yeah. It just seems so pure. So I've never used a computer before.
My grandkids asked me to watch this movie.
Child's Play is a good movie for me and my grandchildren. Unless they want to murder me.
When they were like, I just worry that kids are going to want to murder after these videos. You know, you read that review and you're like, you know that person got hooked on Y2K.
Yeah.
You know they were just like, right at it.
The best review would be like, this was a great movie for children of all ages. I watched it with my kids, and now I see that my child has a knife in his hand. Oh no, hot bleh.
Hello, son. Why are you walking towards me slowly? Why am I typing this right now?
Tell my family I love them. Enter.
That's your will and testament.
Did you hear about that woman that was accidentally shot during a Zoom meeting that she was on? Her kid had her kid had found a gun and it went off. Yeah. Oh
my God.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
That's rough. Hope she didn't have Zoom Premium. Just a waste of money.
Big waste. That's why you can't camera and mic off.
Is that all your reviews or do you have one more?
No, that's all my reviews.
Okay. Oh, so yeah, 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb, 58 on Metascore, 71 and 63 on Rotten Tomatoes. Joel, you had an irrational fear. You've now seen it in its entirety. What do you think of Child's Play?
All right. So my irrational fear, watching this movie made me realize how incredibly irrational it was, because it's not scary at all. It's a little bit tense sometimes, but it's not even like violent, really. Like, well, there's violence, but sure, but like, I saw worse things on like CSI and Criminal Minds than this movie even scratched. Yeah. You know, like, there was really not a whole lot, and genuinely I just thought it was really funny.
Yeah,
it was just like, yeah, it was just like a dark comedy, and I'm like, I was obviously laughing at it for the wrong reasons, just how ridiculous everything was. But I did enjoy it. I enjoyed it. I'm laughing at my dumb, like, 9-year-old self just being absolutely, like, traumatized by this movie when I was watching, like, worse things on television every single day.
Yeah.
You know what? In terms of score, I am going to side with the standard IMDb score. In commemoration of the 6 years that I was really scared of Chucky, I give this movie a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
It's just, again, it's a very fun idea. It's a fun concept that was executed well visually, but story-wise, but they could have done so much more with the concept, I think, if they just toned it down and made it a lot more subtle.
Yeah.
I don't think you needed to blow up 3 buildings with, like, lightning strikes. I think it would have been a lot more interesting if it was a lot more subdued, like a stalker killer type thing where, you know, it's just this doll is following people around killing people and nobody believes anybody. And just using that as the premise instead of, like, there's a massive car chase and, like, again, full on Satan ritual explosions and voodoo dolls and all this.
Yeah.
My other biggest gripe with this movie, and it's the reason it could hit no higher than a 6 for me, is my biggest pet peeve in these types of movies where you're being chased by a big bad. Nobody can confirm a kill. Nobody can confirm a kill. Everybody will, like, knock Chucky away, and then they'll be like, all right, on to the newspaper. Time to just go do something else. And it's like, oh no, he's back. Like, they did that so many times in this movie. They were like, he's done. All right. And then, oh, he was gone. Or, oh, he jumped on you. Or, you know, stabbed you in the leg or something.
Rolled under the couch.
Yeah. When he's got vacuumed under the couch. And then he was like, oh, he's still there. All right. Time to go do something else.
Well, no, that's when it's like, I'm going to lift up the skirt and I'm going to slowly reach under. This thing just talked to me, but why don't I just check on it? I mean,
this thing just tried to choke me out. And I'm just like, let's just see how you're doing, little guy. Like, what's going on?
Grab the fireplace poker or something because you have a fireplace in your apartment.
Okay. Where is your, that's also a whole thing. But where is your survival instinct? Even at the very end, they shot this doll through the heart and then they're like, all right, let's go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Grab it and, like, burn it or, like, destroy it more or something. This thing killed people.
Yeah.
You think it's dead, but obviously you're setting yourself up for sequels. I'm not an idiot. But, like, you think it's dead, but, like, do something about it. And that made me irrationally angry for no reason.
Well, sequels at least have more of a stalker quality to them. And they lean more into the comedy because they know how batshit crazy this concept is. And so they lean more into the laughs and do more of a scary laughs type situation. But
right.
What about you, Colin? What did you think of Child's Play?
I agree with, like, a lot of what Joel is saying. It was difficult for me to get into watching it. The first watch, I was just kind of like, it was really hard for me to, like, pay attention. But I liked it on the second watch. Like, I'd say it's worth a watch. Like, it was an interesting movie to me, and it's like, it's just, it reminded me of, like, it's just, like, one of those, like, time capsule of, like, slasher movies and that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah.
I don't make movies like that anymore. So I liked it. I would agree. Like, I don't know that I would give it, I would say I would hover around, like, a 5 out of 10, probably.
Yeah.
I think my only criticism of it, and I think we've talked about this a lot, like, throughout our conversation, just, I think there was a better story to be told.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I just think to me it was like they baked it too early.
Yeah.
They needed a couple more drafts, a little bit more time, and like
there was a little bit less cocaine, probably.
Yeah, probably a little bit less cocaine. And there was just like a better way to tell the story. Like, I think this movie is 100% better, like I said, if by the third act you still don't know if it's actually the kid or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I would have liked that movie a lot more. Where I think I would have had, like, my, like the Sixth Sense moment where you're like, holy shit, like, it's the doll.
Yeah. Like, it's the doll all along.
And, like, even give you time to forget about Charles Lee Ray.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I pointed out the one in the elevator, which would have been a perfectly good time. Ugly doll, yeah, you want to see ugly bitch? Ah! And it slashes off her face or something.
Yeah,
I think Chucky should have killed those old people. I definitely think there should have been a scene, like, even when Karen first, like, brings him back into the department store where, for whatever reason, he kills her boss, like,
yeah.
That guy needed to die.
That guy did, yeah.
That would have been very satisfying. And I think that's, like, the other thing is, he's supposed to be a serial killer. More people needed to die in this movie.
I think three people
six.
Died.
Six. Six, yeah.
Really? But,
yeah, well, that, oh, yeah. I read that in a trivia, but I don't know if that includes Charles Lee Ray at the beginning.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I can only think of three people he killed.
Maggie, Eddie, the doctor.
Oh, right, the doctor, and the voodoo magic guy.
The voodoo guy.
So four. So unless they're counting Chucky dying twice.
Yeah, Chucky and Charles Lee Ray both dying, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't do that count, but yeah, I read it on that. I read that one.
What they didn't include was the detective. He got a staph infection from his leg wound, and he just died in hospital.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So didn't include that, yeah.
Yeah, and the rats in Eddie's kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely I give the movie a lot of kudos for the animatronics, and yeah, I like the special effects I thought were really cool in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I echo both of your sentiments where it's kind of like, yeah, there was a better movie to be told, and it's slasher schlock is what it is. I mean, it's a fun, stupid, mindless, good time, and so I could float somewhere around that 55-60 range as well, where it's just, yeah, it's dumb. I have more fun with the other ones. I mean, like I said, I jumped into this franchise a couple movies in, but it's stupid, but it's fun. So
yeah, that's just it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that if you have any appreciation for practical effects, I think this is like a must watch.
Yeah.
Just for that alone. And just don't think too hard about the rest of it. I think that's our biggest flaw, is that we were trying to think too much about it.
Yeah.
Instead of just going, yes, doll kill, good, Dr. Death, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, practical effects alone. Just the effect of Chucky burning and then coming back, and the shot of going from his feet all the way up of his, like, charred, burnt up, still functioning body. Just, oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That is Child's Play. And that's our show for the week. Oh boy, a big, huge thank you to... Oh, is this your... This is your fourth time, I believe, Joel. Our returning guest, Joel Sims. Our fan favorite guest, Joel Sims. Joel, is there anything you want to promote? I know there never is, but I'll ask anyway.
No, I just like to wish a big happy birthday to a personal hero of mine, Mr. Walter Mondale. It was his birthday recently, January 5th.
Recently?
yeah, recently, January 5th.
Okay.
I'm just a big fan of the guy, and I always like to give shout-outs to the Carter administration where I can. Other than that, I don't have anything to promote. Just be nice to people. Go do something nice for your mom.
That's
your dad.
Good thing to promote. Yeah,
there you go.
Right there.
Yeah.
Do some, hang out with your family.
Yeah. Promote good oral hygiene.
Yeah. You know? Floss. Yeah. Get a water pick. I got one recently, and I feel like an adult.
Oh, it's a game changer.
That's just it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as much of a game changer as a bidet, because I mean, that's a water pick for your butthole. But my God.
Oh, you know? I just use my water pick for both.
If you like that show, one thing you can do to really help us out on the business end is, well, tell your friends. Share our posts. Word of mouth is so important for a podcast trying to build an audience from the ground up. We don't start off with millions of followers like that damn dirty Conan O'Brien. You know, I'm still throwing it out there. We're the official rival podcast of Conan O'Brien. But word of mouth is one of those things that just helps us get noticed. Or if you want to go above and beyond and help us out, go to whatever app it is you listen to your podcasts on and give us a million stars. Or five. It's usually just five. But give us a review. It doesn't matter what you say in those. It's not for our egos, but those five stars and a review just drive us up the charts, help us get noticed. Or if you want to be a financial supporter of the show and be an executive producer and get a shout out on our show, just like executive producer Joshua Blum, go to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne and become part of our Patreon family.
Do it. Give them your money. Give them your hard-earned bucks. They work hard on the show. I do not. But they work hard on this show.
And be sure to check out our website, www.IUsedToLikeThisOne.com. There you can find links to all of our podcast episodes as well as all our social media. Drop us an email at iselectthisone, all one word, at gmail.com, and let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe Joel will come back and lend us his insights, and we'll talk about your favorite movie, and we'll try not to rip it apart.
That's right. Let's put put in the subject line. Put Joel Sims request.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, we want Joel Sims requests. Let us know.
I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells, music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter in the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. Thanks for listening, and join us next week when we take a look at another movie on I Used to Like This One.